Thank you for being here this morning. We want to keep Johnny in our prayers and Brother Leroy. They're both having some major health issues, and they both believe in prayer, and I believe it will help to keep them in our prayers. You know, it's hard sometimes to have a brother or sister who's struggling with their health. Many times we simply don't know what to do or what to say. But we can always keep them in our prayers. What makes a strong church? Does coming to worship on Sunday morning at 10:30, does that make us a strong church? Do singing songs as we just sang, does that make us a strong church? Praying, is that all it takes to be a strong church? What about partaking of the Lord's Supper? Does that make us a strong church? What about the offering, the giving that we give every first day of the week or however often a person might give? Does that make us a strong church? If there's one thing that's needed today in our wishy-washy, sinful society, it is a strong church. In any given community where the church is strong, the community will be better off because of it. As we consider the Lord's church, each and every one of us should realize that God requires that His church be a strong one. And I hope everyone here realizes that when I speak of church, it's not these four walls, but it's you and me. He is never and will never be pleased with a church that is weak. Don't take my word for it. Take the Apostle John's word for it. If you want, go to Revelation chapter 2, read that chapter all the way through chapter 3, where it talks about the seven churches. The Lord had a problem with them. Only one kind of stood out. So with this in mind, I want us to look at some of the keys or some of the things that I believe will make a strong church. Now, these are not the end of the things that make a strong church, but these are some things that I believe will help us here at the church in Tipton to be the church that the Lord wants us to be. First of all, if we're going to be the church that the Lord wants us to be, then we must keep Christ as its head. If the church is to be strong, the church that God requires us to be, then it must keep Jesus in a position of preeminence. He must, without exception, be the head. Paul again writes in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, that Brother Mike read a few moments ago. And he is the head of the body, the church. All right, so we see right off that the church is the body. All right, and he goes on, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead? We all know who that is. That's Jesus Christ. That in all things he might have the preeminence, the set before anything else. Today, in those areas where man has assumed the leadership of the church, we see that it has steadily digressed from the truth and from being a strong church. Matthew 15 and verse 9, Jesus says, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Here, these men here have set themselves up over and above Christ. If we want to be the church that God wants us to be, then Christ must remain the head. Nobody else above him. Secondly, if we want to be the church that the Lord wants us to be, then we need to fill it with knowledge of God's word. If the church is to be strong, then study. Study of the word must be a part of our daily activities. Did you notice that? Daily, not just Sunday morning. Not just on a Wednesday Bible class, but daily. It must be in our daily activities of studying and reading God's Word. If you show me a weak member of the church, I'm going to show you a person who most likely knows nothing about the Word of God. Notice, if you will, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that rightly dividing, it literally means to cut straight. Now, if we want to be able to stand before God in a position of not being ashamed, if we want to stand before God not ashamed, then we must study his word. That's not my words. That's the Apostle Paul, the inspired apostle, telling us that we need to study. Show me a church which fails to study, and I will show you a weak church. You know, I kind of feel sorry for those who claim to be Christians yet never find the time to study God's Word. Notice what Hosea says, chapter 4 and verse 6. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. All the way back in Hosea's day, because of the lack of studying the law, what happened? They were rejected because they had rejected God's word. Where do you think we are going to stand on the day of judgment if we have failed to study? If we say, I love God, and I would hope that everybody here would be saying that, I love God, I love Jesus, would you not want to know more about Him? I believe we would. Notice what Jesus says in John 14 and verse 15. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. How are we going to keep His commandments if we do not study? How are you going to know what the Lord requires of us if we fail to open up our Bibles? If we are simply relying on the Sunday school class teacher to teach us God's Word, shame on you. Shame on me. If we say we love God, then will we not want to know more about Him? And the only way that we can do that is by and through daily study of God's Word. Thirdly, each member must be strong in the faith. Pretty straightforward, isn't it? Every member must be strong in the faith. How can we ever expect to have a strong church while it is composed of weak members? No matter how long it has been since we have obeyed the gospel, we ought to be diligently contending for the faith. In fact, this is what Jude writes in Jude verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. So why did Jude have to write this? He said, you know, I gave all diligence. I literally wanted to write to you about our common salvation, our common faith. Yet because, and I say this, because you are not contending earnestly for the faith, I have to address something different. You see what was going on here? They were claiming to be a strong church. They were claiming to be diligent, but yet they were not. So in order to have a strong church, then each and every member must be strong in the faith. Now granted, I understand there are those who are kind of new in the faith, maybe. They're not going to be where someone who has been in the faith for many, many, many years, but yet they're diligently seeking the faith. Okay? Granted, at one time we were babes, but you know what? Babies grow up, don't they? Is not what Peter says, 1 Peter 2 and verse 2? As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. We cannot grow. We cannot be the strong church that the Lord wants us to be if we are not growing. It makes no difference how long you've been a Christian or how short. You must be growing. We can't stop. We can't stop. As older Christians, it should never be said of us as written concerning the Hebrew Christians, Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. And if you've come to the Bible class on Wednesday night, Brother Aaron has been speaking and talking and teaching this particular passage. For when, for the time, you ought to be teachers. And he's saying, hey, y'all should have been teachers by now. You have need that someone teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as need milk and not strong meat. They were stagnant. They failed to keep on growing. He's saying, you all should have been teachers by now. You should have gleaned so much knowledge that you're able to pass that knowledge on to the babes in Christ. But you're not there yet. You should be, but you're not. Notice what he says in verse 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Strong meat belongs to those who are growing, those who are studying the Word of God every single day. When you look, let's look back at the verse here. It says here, for when the time you ought to be. That word there in the Greek literally means obligated. For when the time ye are obligated to be teachers. You can't be babes anymore. He's saying this is what you should be now. You should be teachers now. But because of your weakness, because you simply stopped growing, you're still in need of the milk. But he says in verse 14 that the strong meat belonged to them of full age, those who have grown, those who have continued to grow and not become stagnant. Fourthly, take your Bibles, open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to read a few verses in a moment. Fourthly, if we want to be the strong church that we need to be, then we need to let love abound. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting in verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in the iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Charity never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Where there be tongues, they shall cease. And where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. The Lord's church, if we are to ever be the strong organization that we should be, we must abound in love. Oh, I understand. Sometimes our brothers and sisters irritate us. Sometimes they make me angry. Sometimes they even hurt my feelings. But we cannot not love them, even when they hurt us. Love cannot be set aside if we want to be the church that the Lord wants us to be. Fifthly, if we want to be the church that the Lord wants us to be, then we must keep the church pure. For the church to ever be strong, as it should be, it must be kept pure. How do we do that? How do we keep the church pure? Well, Paul tells us, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. In other words, it's not difficult. It's our reasonable service. But then notice, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If we want to keep the church pure, then we cannot be conformed to the world. We can't let worldliness infiltrate the church. So that means each and every one of us should be doing what? Being living sacrifices, holy, acceptable, or reasonable service. The church is the called out of the world, according to the true meaning of the word church. Literally, the ecclesia. Literally, it means the called out. If we are part of the church, we will strive to live pure, sinless lives. Did you notice I said we will try, we will strive, we'll work at? Paul tells us that all of sin comes short of the glory of God. We are perhaps going to stumble, we're going to fall, and we do sin. But we will strive to live as sinless as possible. You know, I think it's a farce. It's a lie to encourage people to come out of the world and become like us while we are still being a part of the world. What good is it doing calling people out of the sinful world into the church, into the body of Christ, when we ourselves are still dangling our feet in it? We need to keep the church pure. Sixth, we must be saturated with prayer. The injunction to pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing is just as applicable today as it was the day that Paul penned these words, pray without ceasing. Literally, unceasingly, or do not give up praying. Thessalonians, they basically stopped. If we want the church to be the strong church that the Lord requires, then we cannot give up our prayer life. For the church to never be found in prayer It would be like the body, our physical body, never coming into contact with our head. What would happen? What would happen if our bodies all of a sudden disconnected from the brain, the head? Well, first of all, we'd probably die. It's important that we pray without ceasing. It's important that we pray and never stop praying or giving up prayer. If we're too busy for prayer, then I believe we are too busy for God. If we're too busy for prayer, then we're too busy for God. Lastly, we must have a united membership. For the church to be strong, it must stand united. You know the old saying, united we stand, divided we fall. That applies to the church. Paul writes 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you. Yes, we all have different opinions, but it's not talking about opinions here. All right? Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. You know, I had a preacher one time through email. He attended one of our gospel meetings. This has been quite a few years back. He said, basically, in a nutshell, he said, it's sad that we don't believe in the same thing. And he's a preacher for a quote, Church of Christ. And I sent back to him, I said, what do you mean we don't believe the same thing? I said, you believe in the same God that we believe in. You believe in the same Jesus Christ that we believe in. You believe that Jesus Christ died and on the third day he arose. We believe the same thing, do we not, in that? We believe that you're baptized for the remission of sins, and I believe that you believe that also. He never sent an email back. It was because of opinion. It was simply because of an opinion that he felt that we were divided. A house divided against itself, it will fall. Luke 11, verse 17. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided among itself is brought to desolation. And a house divided against a house falleth. We must be united to be strong. Again, Yes, I know each of us have opinions, but when it comes to doctrine, when it comes to the body of Christ, when it comes that Christ is the head, when it comes to knowledge in the Word of God and not in what man believes and says and writes, faith is important. Love, purity, prayer, and being united. These are the things I believe will make a strong church. What do you think? Does it sound reasonable? I hope everyone here this morning understands that being the church, the strong church that the Father wants us to be, should be one of the most important things in your life. If it's not, then can we talk? Because there can be nothing above Christ. And the church is his body. So this morning, if you're here, if you've never obeyed the gospel, Jesus came, he died on the cross, he shed his blood freely. And if you wish to be baptized and have your sins washed away, would you come? Or if you